This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A timeline of sorts for VW and Audi to fix their cars, and it may not be until 2015. I'm David Brancaccio. It may not be until 2016, I should say. It's fair to say every owner of a Volkswagen or Audi small diesel that was rigged by VW to cheat emissions tests and overpollute would like to know when they can bring the car in for repair. For what we know so far, let's switch to Europe, where we find BBC business reporter Theo Leggett.
What Matthias Müller, the chief executive of Volkswagen, has said is that for most cars implicated in this, a simple software solution will be enough. So the car will have its engine management unit reprogrammed. But for some cars, it'll need more far-reaching modifications, modifications to the hardware of the car itself. And we do expect some of those cars to be in the United States, because that's where we know that the defeat device was actually being used to deceive emissions testers.
So there are indications that none of this will start until perhaps the new year?
That's what it's looking like at the moment. You have to remember that this is a fairly lengthy process. It involves a lot of bureaucracy and it involves a lot of governments here in Europe where millions of the cars fitted with defeat devices are thought to be. So first of all, Volkswagen has to get the OK from German regulators. Then it has to present that solution to other regulators around the world. They have to give the OK. Then they have to contact the owners of the cars. The owners of the cars have to start coming in and having what's called a service procedure. Volkswagen says very emphatically, this is not a recall because it's not about safety, but the cars will need to be presented at Volkswagen service centres in order to have whatever work done on them. And that will start in January, but may take until 2016 before it's completed.
All right. I guess we have to put recall in quotation marks from now on. The BBC's Theo Leggett in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
In Washington, the House Foreign Affairs Committee today is holding a hearing on food security in Africa. And the hearing comes amid warnings the El Niño weather pattern might bring drought and more erratic rains to parts of Africa in the coming months. Marketplace's Noel King reports.
Here's this year's El Niño prediction. Tracy Allen is a senior agri-commodity markets analyst with Rabobank.
This El Niño is, you know, the strongest in almost two decades. It is predicted to strengthen towards the end of 2015.
So heavy rain in some places, drought in others. That could be bad news for Africa's subsistence farmers. Heather Coleman is climate change manager for Oxfam America.
They essentially rely on steady rainfall and predictable rainfall patterns to be able to determine when they plant their crops, when they harvest.
And they eat what they grow. Roger Thurow is a senior fellow on global agriculture at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs.
If they don't grow enough to feed their families, then they plunge into this hunger season, which is this profound period of deprivation. Their number of meals shrink from 3 a day to 2 to 1 to none on some days.
Oxfam warns some 10 million people worldwide could face food shortages thanks to El Niño. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
We continue that focus today on weather and economics. 4 years ago, Central Texas went through the most devastating fires in recorded history. After that mess, local companies altered business models to adapt to what appears to be a new reality. Electricians, plumbers, home builders, and in some cases even restaurants and hotels made permanent changes. Marketplace's Andy Euler has an update from Texas.
Almost 2,000 homes were destroyed in Central Texas by a wildfire that raged for 9 days in 2011. It wasn't only people who lost their homes who took a hit. Texas doesn't have a state income tax, and there's no property tax on cars. Real estate taxes are where counties make all their money. Bastrop County lost a lot of money after the fire. A lot of those properties simply didn't exist anymore. Debbie Denny was head of the Bastrop Chamber of Commerce in 2011.
Yes, the county lost a lot of tax money after the fires, but it seems like they're trying to make up for it now.
Her son and daughter-in-law lost their house in the fire. They took the insurance money and built a bigger one. A lot of people did that and didn't think about the higher property taxes they'd end up paying on a nicer house. Donald Barron owns Texas Classic Custom Homes. He says business was slow before the fire, and then there was about a month of everyone just trying to come to grips with what had happened.
And then people started getting their preliminary checks, and then they started getting their big checks. And once they got that, it was real interesting to see them come in and kind of focus on rebuilding their home, which was the first step in rebuilding their lives.
Home builders weren't the only ones reaping some benefits from the fire. Debbie Denny ran the Chamber of Commerce, but was also in the business of selling ads for the local newspaper, the Bastrop Advertiser. She says the weeks after the fire were the best of her career.
I was affected, I hate to say it, in a positive way. I've never had so many ad sales in my life. I had 100 people waiting out the door, waiting to talk to me about getting ads in the paper. It was kind of bittersweet.
Denny was selling ads to contractors, but also to restaurants and hotels. They were full of people who lost their homes, but also federal, state, county, and city emergency workers who were brought in to help rebuild. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And if your financial services company does you wrong, you may not be able to join a class action lawsuit or even sue at all. If you read your agreements with banks, credit cards, and other businesses, there's often that clause that binds you to arbitration. Well, there's news. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, a federal watchdog, is looking at rules that would get rid of forced arbitration for many cases involving banks, credit cards, loans, and more. From studios at Montclair State University today, as our New York Bureau gets an upgrade, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.